come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. Each of my guests will share his perspective on one of these topics. My next guest is the managing partner of a worldwide retail strategy consultancy. He began his career in banking and now offers some advice for bankers from his latest book, Porn for Bankers, What Bankers Can Learn from Porn. Hans Einsink Smits changes retail strategies for large companies. He works as the managing partner of a very small consultancy. His function is the team is the main strategist. He's the front man of the team, and he has regular client contact. Hans has trained as an industrial designer and morphed into a versatile business strategist since leaving the Design Academy of Eindhoven. In his spare time, Hans's hobby is blue water sailing. His favorite sailing areas are the North Sea and the Baltics. Joining us from the shore of the North Sea in the Netherlands. Wonderful to have you on the show, Hans. Thank you for being our guest.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, thank you. And it's a wonderful connection that we have. Now, I want to start with the title of your book, because most Americans believe that bankers know everything they need to know about porn, because most citizens feel screwed by the banking system since the financial collapse of 2007 and 2008. But putting the joking aside, most consumers believe that banks are not customer-centric. True or false?
Completely true, and they have been like that for ages, of course, and nothing has changed in the meantime. So, yes, I fully agree with you.
All right. So, on the retail side of banking, they're not particularly customer-centric. How do banks change to become more customer-centric?
Well, I think the main thing they should do is look outside banking rather than stay introverted within their own sector. And then they can learn a lot of things from many sectors. And one of the lessons I offer from a sector which is quite saucy, and that's the porn sector. And that's what's given the title to the book. If you look at porn, and I had the idea when I was walking from the central station in Amsterdam to my office, I used to walk past dozens of sex shops then, porn shops, and in the last couple of years, they've all disappeared, and there's only just two left, and they only sell buzzy things and fuzzy things, but that's over. So that means that everything that has gone, or that can go digital, has gone digital. That's true for porn, for music, for post offices, for anybody who's trading in information, and who is the ultimate information trader. Banks. So they should rethink their business model, just as the sectors of porn, music, books, whatever, are rethinking their business model. So that's how they can think their way, change their ways.
All right, Hans. Well, let's delve into that a little bit more deeply. Most of my listeners are familiar with the fact that Amsterdam has legalized prostitution and that porn was everywhere, as you pointed out. And now you're down to just two porn shops on that walk that you used to take from the train station to the office. What has it morphed into, and why has porn been so resilient to take on the new technologies?
Well, I think porn has always been in the forefront of taking on new technology. I'm sure that when Gutenberg invented printing, that a week later, a nice businessman has printed some naughty books. That has been the case with photography, with video, whatever. They are always at the forefront, are very uninhibited to change their business models, and that's true today as well. Others follow quite quickly afterwards. Banks have followed to a certain extent quite quickly too. If you look at internet banking, we're all very happy with that. But you see that the rest of the banks' activities have lagged behind and are not catching up with that.
Well, and banks are not alone in this, are they, Hans? I mean, let's talk about some of the businesses that have been left in the way, by the roadside as we got into the digital age. Travel agencies, it's all gone online. Yeah. Bookstores, you know, we've lost in the United States Borders, one of our major chains.
Borders, right,
And now...
Blockbusters, video rental.
Right.
Exactly the same.
Another
thing what you see in America is that another sector that should have gone in a completely different business model, your post offices, they're still there because you as a taxpayer subsidize that as an employment project. Here in Holland, where the post market has been liberated completely already 15 years ago, there are zero post offices left.
Zero?
So, yeah, zero, nothing. Post offices, and it's a job we did for them as well, and which we did for many post offices around the world, you re-engineer everything in such a way that you don't need post offices anymore. A lot of things go online, a lot of things can be sold in any store that you want. So there's zero post offices. It's all gone.
Well, now, let's stay on this for just a minute. I know it's not part of your main thesis, but here in the United States, the argument for keeping the post offices, particularly in rural areas like parts of Ventura County, is that they are a social gathering place, that they are a community center, et cetera. And the Netherlands has its rural places as well. How did you get beyond the social aspects of the post office in addition to the functional aspects of it?
Well, I think you're hitting right on the essence of the what I phrase in my book, Born for Bankers, as the information retail revolution. The new rules and tools of the information retail revolution give us much more value at much lower prices. Think of music. We can now, via iTunes and all the others, I can get instant access to an enormous amount of music, and it's very cheap, or it's even free if I do it via Pirate Bay. What we've done with post offices in Holland is that we made the accessibility of the services of the postal network accessible everywhere. So you can buy stamps, you can send packages in almost any store in Holland. So what in fact has happened is that the services have become much, much better. It has become much, much cheaper. So what you would end up with is an empty shell of a post office. If you want to hang on to that in rural areas as a center for social gathering, I think you're misusing taxpayers' money to make a social gathering place. If you want that, please call it a social gathering place and ask the local citizens to subsidize that.
All right. I mean, and that makes sense. But what in the United States, we have a lot invested in real estate for these post offices. In the Netherlands, what did you do with the actual physical real estate when you closed down the post office?
Most of them, as you know, all over the world, post offices used to be the Microsofts of the early 20th century. They were all built in cathedral-like huge post offices, like I've seen last week at Canal Street in New York. I mean, it's like a cathedral. Those places are excellent locations for shopping malls, for hotels, or for whatever. So you see in Holland that many of the big post offices in Amsterdam have turned indeed into post offices, big office blocks, shopping malls, and all that.
I see. My guest is Hans Eysink-Smeets. He's the author of the book, Porn for Bankers, What Bankers Can Learn from Porn. I want to come back to the subject, if I can, Hans, for just a minute. I want to just start with the premise, are bankers nothing more than cavemen in pinstriped suits?
That's right. That's something that is part of the book as well. And it's a story I tell my bankers' clients already since, well, I guess 10, 12 years ago. I'm always telling them, listen, guys, your notion of a relationship is like that of a caveman. So Mrs. Consumer passes by, you shoot out of your cave, you hit her on the head with a bat and with the product of the month, you then slap her to your cave, and you think that you've then created a meaningful relationship. That is not the type of relationship that we are used to today. That's not the modern lover.
All right. And so as we evolve and banking evolves, I heard you mention before Apple and the iTunes store. So I guess I'm going to ask you a hypothetical. If Apple got into banking, how would Apple do it? Because they're the quintessential internet information company.
Yeah. Well, in my book, Porn for Bankers, I take Apple as one of the many cases to demonstrate how indeed you could change your banking. And I tell there how Apple would approach banking. I think they would start to do it via apps. Why not make financial apps that can arrange your savings, can arrange your loans, that can arrange your mortgages, or that can arrange your person-to-person savings or loans? In England, we already have a number of companies that are a switchboard for loans from you to me. So if you would have some extra money and I need some, why you not loan it to me directly. And I think that's one of the rules and tools that we found in the information technology revolution, is that we do a lot of things, what they say, P2P, person to person. We exchange from person to person. eBay is something like that. There's no middleman there anymore.
Right.
I think they will do it like that. What Apple would probably do too is, because as you know, Apple is not only selling a lot of stuff online, they still have their big stores. And they know that at certain moments in certain processes, people feel a bit scared, and they need what I phrase in the book, the trustworthy uncle function for a bit, to come in and get a human face and say, okay, you've done it right. So I think Apple would definitely have his genius bar take care of financial questions as well. In the same way I described IKEA, how they arranged kitchens. If you analyze how they sell kitchens, they've re-engineered it in a way that you can copy one-to-one to banking.
All right, my guest is Hans Eysink Smits. Hans, let's talk about this peer-to-peer lending that you mentioned. It's going on in Great Britain. It's going on in the Netherlands. Yeah. It's going on here in the United States as well, peer-to-peer lending. Yeah. One of the challenges with that, though, is that it increased the risks for the peer investor, the person who is lending the money, because with a traditional loan, you had the bank as the intermediary there who would absorb some of the risk. You could buy a mortgage, for example, from a bank, and it would lower your risk. If I loan it to you, with all due respect to you, I don't know how creditworthy you are and if you're ever going to pay me back. So how do you get around this risk factor?
Yeah, you're totally right. That would be the case if these exchanges of money were working like that. What I describe in the book is that they do it a little bit differently. So let's say you need $5,000, you're a baker, you need a new oven. What that P2P lending machine would do is they would cut your $5,000 need into 20 parts and then distribute it over a lot of people on the other side who are giving you the money, and I would cut the money that I put in into 20 parts as well. So I spread out my risk. That's the one thing. Another thing is what you see these P2P lending machines doing as well is that they use all the rules and tools and the data power of the internet to assure that I am indeed credit worthy. I mean, there's so much information of me on the internet, they exploit that as well. So you would be less risky than you would assume at first sight.
All right. My guest is Hans Eysink Smits. He is the author of the book Porn for Bankers. We're talking about how information revolutionizes everything. And in your book, Hans, you assert that the next 5 years are going to be the hardest for the banking industry. Now, what makes you say that? Because the banking industry right now is going through some pretty tough times. We're having layoffs. We're having all sorts of financial crises. What makes you think the next 5 years are going to be even harder?
Yeah. Well, I think that the discussion, and I have it time and time again when I give speeches with the Porn for Bankers book as the center, I think that after a certain getting used to the lessons from all these other sectors that I present to them, they all say, even conservative bankers, they say, yeah, well, you got a point. Probably the world will change in the way that you describe it. But then, if I think in 10 years' time or 15 years' time, it's very easy to say that. If you then turn back to what's going to happen in the next 5 years, things get tough. Because don't forget, the business models of all the other sectors that are hit by the information retail revolution, that are hit by this porn shop effect, it means big, big layoffs, without any doubt. If we look at the telecom companies in the world, and I described it in the book as well, they've lost all over the world probably 50 to 60% of their costs. Well, what's 50 to 60% of their costs? It's people, of course. That's not unemployment. It's re-employment to a certain extent because the new sectors demand different people too. That is going to happen as well to banking and especially to retail banking.
Now, will those people get redeployed, though? Because you're a banker, you've got a background in finance. It's not exactly as though you can go out and find another similar type of job. Where are they going to find employment?
Well, the bad thing is, Bill, that that's happening in every revolutionary time. when the transatlantic steamer was replaced by the jet airplane, we had the same thing. And or when the steam came about in the middle of the 19th century, you see real drastic re-employment movements in a society. And in the end, yes, the new economic sectors absorb the employment again. But I cannot make that story much nicer. And why do we cry over banks? And we don't cry over the employees of the porn shops. We don't cry over the 50% that are laid off at telecom companies. We don't cry over Sony Music and MGM, who are almost wiped out, like EMI is almost wiped out. We don't cry over Virgin Record stores closing all over the world. So why would we cry over banks? This is, I think, the economic system, the capitalistic system that we've chosen to live in.
What Joseph Schumpeter used to call creative destruction. My guest is Hans Eysink-Smits.
Yep.
Hans, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they're intrigued by the title of your book maybe, where would you direct them to go to learn more about you, to learn more about the book?
Very easy. You go to pornforbankers.com. And to your Americans who are not used to talking about porn, there's no naked women there. It's just about business, and we just take the title as a slightly European tongue-in-cheek provocative title. So pornforbankers.com, you can learn more about the books. You can learn where you can buy it. It is on sale in the U.S. at every major online retailer like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc.
Well, Hans, it certainly is a salacious title. Thank you so much for being our guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
And you too.